You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your hosts, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov. Hello, guys.
Hello, hello, and welcome all. In today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be taking the time to discuss a topic that people don't really speak about too much in this industry. And that topic is the fear of success and how it can be detrimental to your end goals as a trader if you're not able to identify it and work with it. Now, if you're familiar with our body of work, being the podcast, you know, up until this episode, we've spoken a lot about fear in trading. All right. And to name a couple of episodes, episode 12 was the fear of loss in trading. In episode 17, we spoke on recovering from a blown account. And in episode 31, we spoke on how to manage fear of missing out in your trading. Now, if you're familiar with all those fears, you know, the fear of loss, fear of failure, etc., can the fear of success be the real culprit that's holding you back in your trading? So before we take a deep dive into this topic, I just wanted to take a moment to ask you guys a question for you to reflect on. Do you fear your own success? Let's ask that again. Do you fear your own success? Now, hearing that coming across the whatever platform you're listening to, it might make you feel a little bit resistant to that idea, right? Because why would I fear getting exactly what I want? Why would I fear getting everything that I want? That sounds crazy, right? But you might actually be surprised to find out that the fear of success is actually responsible for a lot, and I mean a lot of the self-sabotage that occurs in our pursuit of what we actually think that we want. So fear of success, one of the reasons why it's so difficult to spot is because it's easily confused with the fear of failure, as both will keep you from reaching your full potential. The main difference here being that fear of failure is really has more to do with beating yourself up for underperforming, whereas the fear of success is more of a built-in anticipation of how others are going to react based on you reaching your accomplishments. Now, I mentioned already, it's one of the hardest things to pin down. So our goal today with this episode is to help you guys identify why the fear of success happens, how you can overcome it as a trader, and how you can become more self-aware so that you can go about dealing with this fear successfully.
That's great, Marky. This is a good episode to be really discussing this. I had the mic on mute. Hopefully the editing team will take that out. But it's a good episode to discuss because as you hear fear of success, this might be the first time you've actually thought about that concept, but I can almost guarantee you that it's not the first time that you've felt it on a subconscious level. So this is going to really address this issue. Excited for this episode. Before we begin, today we're going to be talking about the fear of success. This is a devastating restraint on your true potential at the end of the day. It's easy to be in your head and spend too much time thinking, trying to solve the problem yourself, spinning the wheels in the mud. Your subconscious mind is a program designed to continue executing the same code and instructions, leading to the same failures and outcomes. If you want success, you must change the code. You can learn to rewire your entire mind to be a success machine, to be similar to those you call lucky today. A reprogramming of success will make you a better trader and a more fulfilled individual who could achieve their life purpose. Check out our NLP trading psychology course today at tradeproacademy.com. and invest in yourself. Here's to your success. And now back to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for that great message. And, you know, to kind of build on that context, today's episode is going to be a primer to help you guys with the fear of success. Of course, that psychology course is a deep dive into the psychology covering all aspects of psychology. So we're going to take a look at why would you be fearful of achieving the things that you're working so hard for? And I think the best way to kind of start this episode off is to define what fear of success is. As we do with most episodes, we like to define what we're speaking on, so it's a little bit easier to identify how we can work with it. So the definition, what is fear of success? Fear of success usually doesn't mean a literal fear of success. It's more so the results and the consequences of achieving success that people fear, not the success itself. So if you relate this to trading, you know, people fear the results and the consequences of making lots of money, but they don't actually fear the money in and of itself. So if you kind of look at this at a kind of a higher level, more so looking at the logical and subconscious sides of the brain, there's two things going on at this time, right? On a conscious level, you don't actually fear achieving the success, but at the subconscious level, you might be holding onto a script. You might be holding on to a limiting belief, which could be at play, which you then have to face and challenge in order to overcome the fear, right? So the subconscious mind, it basically works to prevent that which it fears. So to that point, if you have an unresolved or unreasonable fear of success, then your subconscious mind will continue making what your logical mind believes to be mistaken, but the subconscious is always going to override and it wins. And if you guys go back to the first episode of this podcast, you'll understand why. Because the logical mind only makes up 0.004% of our thoughts, whereas the latter is made up from the subconscious mind. So if you haven't programmed your mind to succeed, then guess what? You've actually programmed it to do the opposite and to fail. And unless you make that change, unless you reframe that mindset, it's going to continue to carry out the orders without your conscious awareness.
Love it, Mark. And you know, I think something here to bring up is that when you think about success, right, if you, your definition of success, let's say it's something you don't have now, right? Because it's not here, it's exciting. So you don't think you fear it. I think this is encountered when people do actually arrive at this train station called success, right? When you get there, you get off the train, now you start to overthink things, because now that you've arrived at your destination and you're getting a taste of success, that's when the fear kicks in. I don't think anyone thinking in the future saying, oh, I'm going to be this successful, whatever your definition is, 5 years from now, is scared of that. They're like, bring it on. But when you get there, that's when the fear really kicks in if you aren't prepared for it. And you know, I liken this to the analogy of train tracks. From the age of 0 to 7 years old, that's called the imprint period. And in the imprint period, you receive your values from your caregivers, oftentimes your parents. And in life, the shocking part is after 7 years old, whatever your values are, whatever train track you're on, goes on to the end of your life, unless you change it. You know, unless there's somebody like one of those, not the conductors, but the switches that takes you one track to the other. You know, you have to build these in. You got to program those into your track in the future. Otherwise, you're going to chug along with what you were when you were 7 years old. Think about that, right? To be in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and executing the same programs as a seven-year-old, you know, this is where we have the ability to change, and recognizing this fear of success and dealing with it, as we're going to outline this episode, is huge. So why do we fear success? Maybe we could go back and forth on these points, Marky. You know, fear of success is this. It's something that's usually learned in the early years of your lives. All right, fear of success is something that you have been taught, all right? And in fact, your values, belief systems, and actions, which represent your values and belief systems, are oftentimes something that is being executed on from what you've learned in the past. And, you know, as you think about this, you might even want to pause the podcast and ask yourself, what are my first encounters of success? And what did people in my circle who helped me form these values, what did they say about it? How did they respond to it? You know, if your first time succeeding is in a tournament of a hockey, let's say, hockey tournament, and your dad says, yeah, you know what? It's good that you're on the podium, but if you're not first, you're last. Or if you've won and your dad said, you know, good job, but next time you got to do even better, you know, or like, congratulations, this kid next to you is still more fit and in better shape for the future. You know, these kind of things are super important. So think about the first time you encountered success. How were you taught to deal with it? Because I'm willing to assume the first time you encountered it, you were taught your response. It wasn't something you knew how to respond to naturally. So, you know, give it some thought. You know, you might even want to pause this and think. I know I just crossed off a few of those points, Mark. And now, over to you.
Awesome. Yeah, so just kind of going on what Georgie said, he did touch on a couple of the points we had to say. But just to kind of summarize what Georgie said, is that a lot of the fear of success, as it relates to the unique individual, right, it's brought on by values and beliefs that you learned through those imprint periods, right? The 0 to 7 years old, where you're basically like a subconscious sponge, just taking everything in. And from that is how you learn to respond, you know, throughout the rest of your life, unless you make a change to that. So a lot of the beliefs and values that you carry are linked to what you picked up from parents, caregivers, etc. And if going back to George's examples there about, you know, winning a tournament or being successful at something, you know, our friends, our parents, our caregivers, they often coached us to avoid, you know, to do our best, to always be the winner, and to avoid looking like losers. And if you haven't really taken the time to work on your subconscious, you're going to carry these stories on. And you'll also carry these stories at a logical level. But when you actually peel back the curtains, there's a bit of a deeper underlying belief at play. And ultimately, we fear success because it's often linked with a low value of self-worth, right? The issue here becomes that if you don't think that you're worthy of success, you're going to fear it. And then when you start to achieve success, there's going to be self-sabotage at play because you might be scared of what that success brings along. And we're going to talk about that shortly here. And we're going to discuss some of the, you know, the logical thoughts that you might get in the following thoughts.
I just thought of something, Mark. You make me think. You're one of the people in my life that when you say stuff, you get me thinking. I always listen to you. Normally I'm like on Amazon or multitasking, but I give you the full laneway here. And so, you know, you mentioned it there, Mark. That's really cool, right? Because what do we do in life? We idolize success stories. Look at all the movies, all the media, everything we consume. Everyone loves an underdog that wins. Everyone loves success. And so because everyone loves it and you want to be loved, you want to be valued highly by other people, you want to be like those success stories. The problem is you're not prepared for the pressure. You know, every team in the NHL, because that's the sport I watch the most, haven't watched it this year because it hasn't started. It's another kerfuffle there. But, you know, every team has that guy, you know, or girl in whatever sport it is. And you want to be that guy or that girl because that's who you think you need to be appreciated and loved and valued and respected. But when it comes to tasting a piece of that, you're not ready for the pressure. And more importantly, you're not ready for the work ethic required to sustain that kind of momentum. Because you look at these success stories, and I'm sure you know this, Mark, you look at it and you say, wow, he does so good. Nobody looks at the time in the gym. Nobody looks at the diet when people are eating pizza. You know what I mean? At Christmas, you're calorie counting. You're just doing such hard work ethic items to be that person. And I think it's a twofold problem. Number one is we all want to be a version of success that we've been taught by other people about. We all want to be that person that we all think is successful, but that isn't right for everyone, right? It takes a certain work ethic to be there. And the good news is you don't have to be that person in trading. It's good enough to just be a person and start with your own self-worth and knowing it.
Exactly. And to that point, I think it was you that brought this up. And I'm going to reference Drake. As you guys know, we're from Toronto. So we got to big up. We got to big up Drake. But I think it was you that told me this thing where, you know, everybody, if you look at Drake and you look at his overall success, and the reason I'm using this is because it's likely a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it, right? If you look at Drake and his success, his overall success, a lot of people admire that and they'd want to be in the similar position. But it was a quote that I think you shared with me, and it was his producer, was it 40, that said, you know, everybody wants to be like Drake, but they don't see this guy's schedule. Like his work ethic is ridiculous. And, you know, he spends all of his time working. So on to your point there, you know, on one side of the page, you're seeing all the success, you're seeing money, you're seeing he's got his own, you know, 747 jet, and all of that stuff looks exciting to you. It looks like something you'd like to have in your life. But on the flip side, you don't really see what goes into achieving that, right? And I think it goes perfectly with that train track example you said. You know, everybody thinks they want something until they get it. And then they realize, maybe it's not all that it was cracked up to be.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Drake, Marky, he's got one of the best lyrics, I think. Like, we don't want to get too far down the Drake rabbit hole, because he's really inspirational for me. You know, we've actually interviewed Drake in our college radio station out of University of Toronto campus in the day. Yeah, and I remember just talking to him. He was so confident. He said, give me a year. You're going to see me with the mill. Like, I'm on track. You know, he believed so much that he's going to succeed that no one's going to stop him. But he had this one line that he says, you know, basically along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing, party on, and while you're partying, I'm making the music that you party to. So it's like, that's that mentality, right? It's like you have to be that version of success. Like, there isn't as much time as you think they have. The only time I bet they get leisure is you see it in the music video. You know, it's like everything else goes up to creating that moment. So, you know, the thing about success is we all think we want it until we taste it. And then we realize, hey, maybe we haven't programmed ourselves for it. I don't believe you have to be built a certain way. Like, you can change, but I do think you have to put in work to be the version of yourself that could be comfortable around success.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to move on to some of the thoughts, right? Because we mentioned here that fear of success, it's usually learned in the earlier years, but the difference between your logical thoughts and your subconscious thoughts is that there could be misalignment there, right? And oftentimes, if you have a logical thought about success or what you think is a logical thought, if you peel that thought back, there's usually an underlying belief or value on the subconscious pain. So let's take a moment to kind of identify some of these logical thoughts. And I use quotations when I say logical thoughts, because I want you guys to think and reflect on your own experiences. Do you guys share these kinds of beliefs? So number one, you know, one of the thoughts that a lot of people tend to have as it relates to success is that success is actually going to ruin your relationship with friends and family, right? If you achieve success, you're worried that you're going to lose your social standing. You might start being, you know, somewhat of a social outcast. People aren't going to be able to relate to you. You might be worried you're going to have to kind of completely rebuild your life in the sense of upgrading your network, you know, upgrading your colleagues, your friends, upgrading everything around you. And that could be something scary, right? So that's one of the thoughts on a logical level to you that you might be scared of, right? But if we peel it back, you'll see that there is a deeper, there's a deeper value that's really in the subconscious mind. So that's the first one. George, you want to take that second one?
Yeah, absolutely. People will think you're always showing off or bragging when you get success. But here's the thing. We care too much what people think about us. You know, who gives a crap what people think? You're busy trying to succeed. You're making the music that people party to. All right. And here, let me flip that on you. If you're afraid of success because people are going to think you're showing off or bragging, let me tell you that showing off or bragging is an interpretation. You're not communicating that. You're interpreting it. For every one person that thinks you're a show off or bragging, there's 10 that are motivated by you. So at the end of the day, when you live a cause, the receiver of information decides how to process it. It's not in your communication to say you're showing off or bragging. You know, I love seeing people share their stories of wealth, of success, the things that they've acquired, because it motivates me. But the point is, if someone thinks you're showing off or bragging, it's their choice to think that. That's not your responsibility. That's not how you're communicating it. It's their responsibility on how they interpret that information. Just remember, for every one person that tells you you're showing off, oh my God, why are you bragging with all this wealth? You know, there's 10 people who quietly won't tell you this, but say, damn, this guy inspires me. You know, and like, look at Crosby. Look at all superstars. Like, you know, Ovechkin, you could tell I'm older, because there's McDavid, some of the new guys too. But look at them, right? Like, do you think that all things written about them are positive? Not a chance. But at the end of the day, they don't really care. Do you know why? Because they're not doing it for you. They're doing it for themselves. You're not going to reach success if you do it for others. And that's why it's important that you address this topic we're talking about before you get success, because then it's for you. It's not for other people. And that's when it's most potent.
Exactly. So another thought that you might have in your logical state is that success might not be all that it's cracked up to be. All right. And you often hear this thing from people that you think might have achieved success, or people that have tried to achieve something, they failed, and then they say, oh, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not good enough. Right. So this kind of logical thought, while you think that it's kind of protecting you, this is actually what's harming you, right? Because you might actually be fearing that responsibility that comes with success, right? We mentioned this a little bit earlier in the example of Drake, for example. I've just been using example far too often here. But if you look at Drake, right, from starting from the bottom, now he's here, right? So a little quote there from the song. But in all honesty, you know, when you're coming up from the bottom and you're trying to make your way to the top, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be added to your list of responsibilities, right? As you start making more money, guess who's going to want a chunk of that? The IRS, or in Canada here, the CRA. In order to, you know, to keep those funds, you're going to have to hire accountants. That costs money. You know, you're going to have to do this and that. And the people that are afraid of having to, you know, level up their responsibilities, you know, they're afraid to make the investment in that accountant, or they're afraid of, you know, I'm going to have to hold back so much of my yearly salary that's going to have to go to the government, and I don't want that to happen. You know, these are some of the stories, the logical stories that you tell yourself about why you're fearful of success. But again, there's a deeper value or a belief that you hold on to, and it's a script that's running you at a subconscious level. So once we clear out this list of your logical thoughts, we're going to show you guys what some of those subconscious thoughts are, the underlying subconscious thoughts are for this list of the logical ones.
You know, Marky, you mentioned something about tax, man. I think I'm the one of few people that views I want to pay tax. If I pay $30 million to the government this year, fantastic. I'll pay you 50 next year because it means I'm making more. At that point, you're going to have people that are focused with making you pay less tax legally, not avoidance, you know, reduction on a legal sense. And if you're paying more while you got smart people working to make you pay less, fantastic. You're crushing it. You know, I love it. I want to pay more tax. CRA, I can't wait to give you 50 mil next year. Next thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, your logical thoughts and success is your fear. You fear the changes that success will bring into your life. This is big, especially if you're a being who seeks comfort. All right, comfort to you will mean, you know, change is scary in any aspect. And, you know, automatically you assume change is bad. But think about this. People always want things to get better. Things could get worse. But for some reason, we associate change with always avoiding things to get worse. But the other outcome is it could also improve. So the things that will change in your life as a result of success, be confident in the fact that you will get to choose those changes. All right. It's not good enough to avoid it because you think it's going to change you. You should change. You know, you're evolving every single day. You're taking up oxygen on this planet. You're taking up space. You have the responsibility to create positive and good for this planet while you're here. And so if you're a growing human being, why wouldn't you expect to change? Whether you like it or not, you're changing. If you're trying to avoid change, you're still changing. And so the point I'm making is, yeah, there's going to be changes, but there's going to be changes anyways. And if you're somebody who lives at cause, you're going to have the ability to choose the changes that you like and make them bigger, and to avoid the ones that you don't and address them. Because if you're a person who constantly works on yourself, services your mindset like your vehicle in regular intervals, you know, these changes are opportunities always.
Yeah, that's a great point. And really the final kind of thought, as far as logical thoughts you might have about fearing success is, what if I become somebody that I don't like? All right, what if I become somebody that I don't like? And, you know, there's an obvious subconscious belief here at play, but I want you guys to take a moment to reflect. You know, we've gone through several logical thoughts that people have. You know, if you fear success logically because you're afraid you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose relationships, if you're worried about being perceived as a show-off, somebody that always brags, if you fear that added responsibility, if you fear that change, if you fear becoming somebody you're not, or rather somebody you don't like, this is really your, I don't want to say red flag, but it's your first kind of red flag indication that there might be a struggle with the fear of success at play for you, right? So let's take a moment to dive a little bit deeper here. And, oh, We got Georgie's ready to speak.
I'm sorry. I'm like, you know what? This is. I don't want to add this. I don't want to take up any more time. But I had to say this, Marky. You know, the word become is strong. It seeks identity, right? And so I think that here, if you're afraid of becoming somebody you don't like when you succeed, I would argue you don't like yourself at the present moment either, right? It's very important to understand that. It's like you're not fearing who you're going to become with success. You're fearing probably change. There's something else you're fearing that you have to identify. But if you don't think that you deserve success, if you don't think that when you get it, you're going to become somebody who's useful to society, you know, there's a bigger problem at hand here. And that's what we're going to try to address this podcast. Sorry, I had to mention that.
No, it was good. I think the audience is going to find some great value from that. So let's dive into these subconscious beliefs and values that people, you know, tend to pick up in the earlier years. These are the things that you'll find are quite common in your imprint years, right? So the logical thoughts that we just spoke about, obviously you're not going to be thinking about, am I going to lose friends or relationships as a seven-year-old? You know, am I going to be successful? That's not something that comes about, right? So the logical thoughts obviously come after your imprint period has already, finished. You've transitioned out of that imprint period and now you're a logical being, right? So that generally happens after seven, you know, we'll call it your early teens up until your teens. This is where you start to identify with those logical thoughts about the fear of success. But if you reflect on your imprint period, this is where those deeper values and those beliefs are learned, right? So these are beliefs such as successful people are bad, rich people are lucky, they're inherited, nobody, you know, you have to do bad things to make lots of money. You know, the classic one, rich people are a-holes, You have other money scripts, like you have to work hard to earn a mere living. Things like, it's lonely at the top. I'm not worthy of success. And that last one, you know, I remember writing the notes for this. And that last one, I'm not worthy of success. It makes me cringe to say that. Like, there's a physical reaction.
I'm not
reaction.
Even repeating it.
Yeah.
Not,
like
anything that has an I am statement, I don't agree with.
Exactly. There's just a physical resistance to it. Right. And because we've taken the time to really learn about ourselves, where our mindsets are at, and to kind of reframe our beliefs. So for me, somebody that's worked on it, a statement like I am not worthy of success, I don't associate with that. It doesn't feel right to say. But if there's something in you, if you heard me say that and it kind of struck a chord, then you know, we've identified one of the beliefs that you hold on to that might be actually sabotaging you in your journey towards, you know, achieving those goals.
Yeah. And I think, Marky, like that last one there, I'm not going to repeat it because no one needs to repeat that. I think that's how you feel if you're saying the other top things like successful people are bad, et cetera. Where do we learn that behavior? We learn that from what? Television, from our parents telling us that. I don't think any successful person said that to you, right? It's what my experience was, that I only got to see the neighborhood we immigrated to when we came to Canada. I unfortunately didn't get to see a lot of successful people. And so these things I was learning about successful people were from people who weren't successful. So these are like ideas and concepts from the media. This is going to be very controversial, but I have to tell you this. We learn a lot of these things about successful people through what? Television, right? Typically. Television is literally called programming. A lot of successful people do not watch television, or if they do, very limited amounts of television. So this programming is catered towards an audience who's more than likely to not be the successful tier of people on average, right? And so this is who they're gearing it towards. You know, you have to not want success in order to work for other people happily. And this is what's happening with the programming. And so I'm going to tell you that all these are BS. It's not lonely. There's a lot of people who are successful who, in fact, when your circle up levels, you mentioned it, Mark, you know, like you got to up level yourself, surround yourself by people to share your values. You only stand to benefit from being in those circles. And you realize they work hard. It's not lonely at all. It's more enjoyable. But you have to believe you're worthy.
Yeah, exactly. And every time I have something like this where there's this kind of a thought, right, where You've got these subconscious values of, you know, rich people are a-holes, or, you know, successful people are lucky. It's all inherited. It always makes me reflect. And, you know, I've mentioned it before on this podcast, but I feel like this is another great place to mention this fact. And I'll give you the example of one of my own experiences with this when I was on my honeymoon in Antigua. All right. So for those that might not be familiar with the story, my wife and I, we went on a honeymoon to Antigua and we went to visit the English Harbor. All right. It's a nice little spot on the island and it basically overlooks a harbor. I mean, that's what a harbor is. So it overlooks the harbor. And as you might imagine, you know, the English side of the harbor is generally where you've got the money. Right, where there's the people with the money. And I remember standing over this harbor overlooking, and there was a sunset, and there was a yacht, a pretty decently sized yacht floating around there. And this one gentleman came over and he's just looking at the yacht and he's like, "Oh, look at that yacht there. That guy's probably a rich a-hole," right? And
so I remember, that person's never going to have a yacht, basically. Hey, you
exactly. Know? Right. And I remember hearing that and, you know, immediately, you know, not associating with that, I just kind of chuckled and made my way. But because we're talking about this, it's a great example for fear of success holding you back. Right. So for that individual, the gentleman that stood beside me saw the yacht and told me, "Oh, that guy is a rich a-hole." Guess what? If that gentleman tries to attempt something where he's got some goals, he's going to try to succeed, guess what? He's going to have a difficult time because subconsciously he believes that anybody that has money is an a-hole. So this is where that conflict between the logical mind and the subconscious mind comes up, right? Because your logical mind might say, "I want to have success. I want to achieve great things. I want to make money, etc." But subconsciously you believe that those people are a-holes. So now you're at a crossroads. Do you want to make money and become that a-hole, or do you want to keep your status quo, stay where you are, stay in your comfort zone, and not be an a-hole?
Right. I love that you heard that and you chose not to associate it with it, right? Because some people would just not say anything and then just let the float kind of float away. But then that gets stored in your subconscious mind. You got to disagree with it, even if it's mentally big. I don't agree. You have to tell your subconscious not to accept that, because look at wealth these days, right, Mark? Like, wealth has changed. You know, we, and the old values, the old systems, our parents, people who became really wealthy were fewer. And in our current system where we're at, you know, a lot of these successful billionaires, let's use the B word, a lot of them didn't want the money. Like, look at Zuckerberg with a black hoodie. These guys in like Silicon Valley with sandals, you know, riding around little bicycle when they could have a Ferrari because they don't want to chew up any resources for the planet. You know, it's not that you become rich through being an a-hole. You have a choice of what to become when you get rich. But those people that became rich by offering value to society. You're not going to get success or riches by offering value. And let's always remember this. Any opinion you have of somebody else, in order to be able to scientifically experience that opinion, you got to feel it yourself. That's called perception is projection. So that which you project onto others is a reflection of yourself. And so these are signs based on what you say about others. The subconscious mind takes everything personally from lesson one. Anything you say about somebody else, you believe about yourself. So that's very important. And that's why it's important to track your language. Sorry, a little bit of an aside. The favorite part of that story for me, Mark, was that the English harbor was a harbor. I love you, Mark. Yeah. I miss you with this quarantine stuff.
Oh man, yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of what it is, and I think it's a good example of, you know, how somebody's values and beliefs can and will get in the way. You know, help it, it's going to make you an obstacle that really you're going to be the only obstacle in the way of your own success. And so, you know, if I were to reflect on my own journey here, did I believe that when I was younger? You know, yes, I did, because those were the stories that I was taught. You know, rich people are a-holes and stuff like that. So it obviously, if you take it at face value, you don't do any of the personal development work. It's an opportunity to learn, right? Because I'm at the age now where, you know, I've got an open mind, right? And having the open mind can show me, you know, whether my beliefs are actually serving me or not. And, it, you know, I've identified in the pursuit of what I want to achieve, having the belief that rich people are a-holes or rich people are lucky, et cetera, it doesn't serve what I'm trying to accomplish. So you kind of just strip yourself of that, and you continue on, right? A lot of it has to do with ego, and we'll touch on this shortly, but a lot of it has to do with ego. And, you know, if you're somebody that carries, you know, your ego kind of like on your sleeve or on your heart, you're going to have a difficult time with success because, you know, as soon as you do something that might be considered or seen as as a failure, you know, now you're going to take it even harder upon yourself. And same thing with success, right? They say it's a lonely road, but once you get there, right, you're going to find like finds like, right? You're going to find people that are similar in their thinking, in their approach to life, in what they want to accomplish. And all you really have to do is just put yourself around those kinds of people. And we'll speak on that shortly as well. But here's some other food for thought for you guys. So now an example, right? We mentioned that the brain, the subconscious brain, loves certainty, all right? And so your current situation, your current comfort zone represents certainty to your subconscious mind, right? So the beliefs that we kind of discussed can really hurt in your pursuit of goals, despite what your conscious level thinking believes, despite your best intentions at a conscious level, because the subconscious does not want to become that which you fear, right? So in order to maintain your status quo, you are going to self-sabotage your results. And like I said, it's because your brain loves certainty. So for example, if you are of the belief that achieving the success you've always dreamed about is going to bring negative changes in your life, such as lost friendships, such as maybe resentment from peers, that's a big one, right? Maybe you don't want the change that comes along with that. Self-sabotage is going to pop up, right? Because that change represents the unknown. Guess what your subconscious dislikes? It dislikes the unknown. So it's going to do what it can to keep you where you are, and that's your comfort zone. So what does the fear of success actually look like? How does it manifest? What are some more of those red flags you can look out for? So as usual, we've got some lists, right? So the fear of success can manifest in a number of different ways, but the most common ones that we've seen, and you know, I can speak to some of these with my own experiences, namely perfection. All right. Mm-hmm. If you strive for perfection, it's not so striving for perfection that's the issue here. It's more so the response to falling short of perfection, right? If you're the type of person that looks for perfection, and if you fall short of it and you feel that, you know, there's no reason to proceed forward, that is usually an indication that you might be dealing with the fear of success. Why is that? Well, ask yourself questions like this, right? Have you been taught to always be a winner? Are you afraid of looking like a loser? Do you feel the need to win? Do you feel the need to win at all costs? Right? These are questions to ask yourself. And if you say yes to these, then the script that you're holding onto is that of perfectionism. And like I said, if you don't achieve what you imagine to be as quote unquote perfect, then you're giving yourself the opportunity to stop, right? To quit. So that's one of the ways that fear of success manifests in itself. George, you want to take the next gun?
Yeah, well done on that one. That's fantastic. It's very very deep dive. Yeah, number two here, since it's a list, most common red flag signs to look for. Number two is you set goals that don't really scare you. If you tend to be the type of person that sets a lower bar for your goals, you fear challenging yourself and circumstances of accomplishing them. That's usually a sign, you know, that you have a fear of success. I think that since the subconscious mind thinks in images, I'm gonna share a story with you that I read from a book called Work Rules.
This I like is, stories.
Yeah, we all do. That's how we communicate. The story is the most powerful language. In Work Rules, the book written by Laszlo Bloch. Laszlo Bloch is now a CEO and founder of a company called Humu. I don't know what the heck they do, but I know him from when he used to recruit people at Google. For 10 years, he ran their recruiting efforts, and they called them Googlers. And he wrote this little thing in his book, Laszlo Block. You guys should read it. Work Rules, Laszlo Block. Among things, he talks about the Google culture there and brings up a number of different... I mean, it's a good read. Mark, you should buy this book. We should do a podcast on this. All right. And so now I'm going to tell you the point. He goes, Google, when they set goals for our culture and our people, what do you think is important about a goal, Marky? Achieving it, right? You want to get 100% of the goal. Google said that they have stretch goals. They say on a year that they achieve 100% of their goals, they've failed. So they say, what do we really want to achieve this year? And then if they say, you know, 100 million, if they hit 130 million, that's their new goal. And so they say, we only want to get to about 65 to 70% of our goal success. If we hit 100% in any year, we didn't think big enough. We didn't think bold enough. So the idea here is never hit 100% of what you set out, because that's too easy. That to me is fascinating. So I just want to share that story. At the end of the day, if the goals don't scare you, they're not worth putting your time and energy into. They have to be big. They have to be scary. They have to make other people think that you're nuts. That's the kind of goals you want.
Exactly. And, you know, further to that point, I think it comes back to self-worth. Right? Because like you just mentioned, Google, even a company like Google, their focus is not to hit 100%, because if they've done that, they failed, right? So somebody that might suffer from a low sense of self-worth, they might not even go about setting those kinds of goals, you know, those kinds of stretch goals, because that their value of themselves or their value of their own worth is not high. And so this is kind of exactly what we mentioned here, is that if it doesn't scare you, you know, it's likely a value or a belief that you're not good enough, that you don't deserve the success that you want. And that's something that you've got to work on.
Yeah, Marky. And another point I wanted to bring up in this before we move forward in the list is that, you know, if your goals don't scare you, they're probably away motivated goals. They're not goals that make you move towards what you want. They're goals that make you move away from what you don't want. And so I think if you want to do goal setting, there's an episode in this podcast talks about toward and way motivation goals. You need to change your goals to toward motivation, because when you don't want something, you'll just get far enough that it's not uncomfortable. But that doesn't mean you are where you want to be. You're just far enough from the pain you don't want to feel, but nowhere close to what you do want to feel. So always have toward motivated goals.
Exactly. Another way that you can see fear of success manifesting in your life is procrastination. All right, this is a big one, and it's a little bit tougher as far as, you know, trading is concerned, but this is something that you can reflect on other areas of your life, right? It's quite common amongst entrepreneurs, for example, where they tend to procrastinate enough and to stall just enough for good opportunities to pass, right? Maybe it always comes back to fear of success, right? If you're procrastinating on doing something because you're fearful that actually actioning it and, you know, reaping the rewards is going to negatively affect you, that's where the fear of success kicks in, right? So procrastination is a big one. As it relates to trading, for example, you can think of something like, I'll use the word procrastination interchangeably with hesitating in trading.
Love
right.
It.
So you don't procrastinate on taking a trade. You hesitate on taking a trade. And so if you find yourself in a situation where you're hesitating on taking trades when they set up in your levels, when everything is, you know, kind of like a pilot list, everything's checked off, you're good for flight, you're good for takeoff, but you're still hesitating to take a trade, you know, you are in effect procrastinating. You're stalling just enough for that good opportunity to pass by. And then when the market maybe goes in the direction that you were anticipating it to go and you're not on board because you hesitated, now you convince yourself it's the right time. And if you get stopped out, or if you take a loss on that trade where you should have entered when it was originally at your levels, now you're thinking, oh man, you know, this isn't for me. Now the self-doubt comes in, and you know, the cycle goes on and repeats. So procrastination in life as it relates to your reality, but in trading, it's more so found in the hesitation moments where you really struggle to execute when it's time to.
Yeah, you know, procrastination is typically a sign of trying to do something logically that your subconscious mind isn't programmed to do, right? Because you're logically thinking, oh, should I do this? Should I not? Blah, blah. And at the end of the day, you're fighting the flow of what you programmed. So if you programmed yourself with values that aren't going to help you succeed in trading, you're going to procrastinate when it comes time to doing it because your subconscious mind is trying to do anything possible to keep you away from it while your conscious mind is trying to fight with trying to find a trade entry. So that's a really good sign you have some you work to do. It's an operator. It's not a machine technical difficulty.
Yeah. And really one of the, you know, this isn't an all-encompassing list, of course, but another one of the manifestations of fear of success that we've kind of identified is if you tend to find a reason to quit just as you're on the verge of success, you know, this could be another indicator, right? Some of the things that you want to ask yourself in this case are, do you fear change? Do you fear the unknown? Are you somebody that fears, you know, as it relates to trading, are you somebody that fears variable income? Do you fear not knowing whether you're going to make money this month or not, right? These are things that you have to ask yourself. And quite oftentimes, you know, we're going to get into fear of success examples in trading next, but quite oftentimes, you know, we've had stories of our own members reaching consistent profitability, getting to a point where they're doing that, but then they find themselves doubting whether they can actually maintain that, right? And fearful of giving it all back. And again, this ultimately comes back to self-worth or lack thereof. And the tough thing with the fear of success is that it's both a painful experience and it's an embarrassing experience because it causes a lot of mixed emotions. And the emotions you commonly feel are those of guilt, you know, those of anxiety, and ultimately those of pressure, you know, over pressuring yourself in order to achieve certain results. So I think that's a good kind of walkthrough here on how fear manifests itself in different ways. And let's take a moment now to kind of look at how fear of success manifests in your trading. So I'll let Georgie kick this one off.
The first one is, I really don't want to make $5,000 US a day. I'm fine with just 100. I just want to replace my income. And so the question I would ask is, what about increasing it? Right? Why do you want to replace your income? If you're in a job where you think you deserve to be paid more, or if you're in a career where you feel that you will be paid more in the future, why settle? Right? That's really an example where it's not that you want the $100, you're afraid to have more. And at the end of the day, you're going to put psychological and physical limitations on yourself by using language like that to the point that you write a program. Because here's the thing about success. The first taste of it is probably the most important. Because remember, the subconscious mind's always listening. And so if you get in a state of, hey, I made $5,000 a day, and you get scared of it, you're like, this is too much money. What do you start to say? You say, well, you know, this feels like a lot. Maybe I took too much risk. You start looking for excuses why that's bad. And now you've associated a really good day, the best day in your life, something you probably deserve after working so hard for it. Now you've associated that with a negative feeling. The subconscious mind says, this person doesn't want this kind of day. Next time you're about to get close to that day, let me prevent it from happening. And that's how you have a 5,000 up day, and now you're down 2K on the day. And you're saying, oh, I'm pissed off. My strategy sucks. But at the end of the day, that's what you programmed yourself to achieve. And now we're here. And so you really have to be protective of that and not put limitations on yourself. You know, returns in the market aren't a result of how good you are. It's a result of how good you are at going with the flow. The market dictates the return. You only have control of doing the job, just looking for the trades, running them, let the market tell you how much you're going to make. You have no control of that. That's the important thing. And that's the thing with variable income. This is a variable income job. The key word is variable.
Yeah, exactly. So another example of fear of success in trading is, you know, the idea that if you're currently working a full-time job and you're flirting with the idea of, you know, quitting your full-time job, walking away from that corporate career and starting to do this as a business for yourself, right? The idea that I'll leave my job to trade full-time when I've made X amount of dollars and I'm out earning my current income, right? And I know this is something that I thought about when I was looking to make that transition, all right? And it was only after I had a good chat with somebody in my network, you know, unnamed. They just might happen to be the co-host here as well. But, you know, in my own experience, in my own example, this is something that I was of the opinion of, you know, I was saying I could probably do this in 3 to 5 years where, you know, I've completely replaced my income, probably doubled or tripled it. At that point, I'll be ready to make the change. But, you know, George asked me the question, you know, what's stopping you from doing it today? And to also consider, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen if you were to make the jump and you failed, right? Because oftentimes, you know, we're scared of the unknowns. As we mentioned here, the subconscious is not a big fan of change, is not a big fan of the unknown. So anytime you are considering doing something that is unknown or uncertain or out of your comfort zone, there's going to be resistance, internal resistance to that, right? And so at the end of the day, you've got to be able to say, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? And really, after having been asked that, and thinking about it, I don't remember giving you an answer to that. I literally think my response was, now that I think of it, there's nothing that is preventing me from doing it today, right? The only thing that was preventing me from doing it when I did was myself. And it was not because I didn't think I was able to achieve it. It was more so just, you know, the doubt at the time. So this one's a really, really big one. I don't know if you've got anything to add to that one, Georgie.
Your response was leaving, right?
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
You didn't have to respond. It's just at the end of the day, it comes down to action. When there's no good reason, there's only the action that you could take. And I do have something to add to this, Mark. It's, you know, if you have a thought like that, I'll leave when my full-time income is replaced. You know, that's an away motivation goal, right? That's the need to make X amount of money so you could leave the job. But that doesn't get you to where you want to be. Right. And yep. So I think that, you know, there is a wrong time to definitely leave and trade full time. And we have an episode on this on the Mind Over Markets podcast, when it's right to leave your job to trade. And you should definitely listen to that. But I also think that this guaranteed income ends up being a chain and a ball on people's leg for much longer than it needs to be. The beauty about a variable income job is you can go from nothing to what you were making in your work a lot quicker than you thought. You know, like I remember one significant milestone in my career, Marky, is having a month that would take me, in one month, I made my whole annual salary in a single month. You know, and when that happens, you sit there and you laugh. You're like, I was afraid of this. The only thing I have in terms of a regret going back is not doing it sooner. And so you got to remember that that's a lack mindset. Replacing something that you don't like already to begin with, lack mindset. Focus on what you do want and then build your strategy around that.
Yeah, I still remember when was it? I think I quit May 2018. And I remember kind of got settled in at the Trade Pro office at the time towards the end of May. But there was one day in June of that year. And it was, I think, that crew trade where I started looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I started looking at cottages and stuff. But you know, despite my enthusiasm and optimism there, it was one of the days where I had made probably a week or two's worth of my old salary at the time in a single trade.
Right.
You know, not even a day, in a single trade. And I remember looking back at you and being like, George, thanks for having this conversation with me, because I'd be stuck at that job, you know, still doing what I was doing. And so it kind of goes to show that, you know, you might have your own individual doubts, you might have those values and beliefs, but it's really important to have, you know, in your network, those people that are effectively where you want to get to.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that next, where we're going to give you guys some examples of how you can overcome a fear of success. But one of the biggest things to consider here is, you know, even if you reflect on George's story growing up, you know, I know where he grew up. I know the part of the city. And it's not the best part of the city. And, you know, even looking, reflecting on my own story, you know, I didn't grow up in the same kind of circumstances. I was a little bit more fortunate, but, you know, we were kind of like middle to higher income growing up. But nonetheless, going through high school, you know, I saw both things, you know, both sides of the coin, whether it was, you know, poverty or, you know, extremely lavish lifestyles. And it wasn't until I met the friends and I went to their places for parties and stuff, and I realized that, you know, this kind of stuff is possible. And just even being around those kinds of friends, the types of conversations that they would have and how they valued and believed certain things, those were polar opposites of when I was hanging around the friends that came from poverty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's just, that was really the first time that I was kind of introduced to a different mindset, right? Because growing up, you know, my parents always said money doesn't grow on trees. You know, we didn't come from the wealth family, et cetera, et cetera. And you kind of believe those things until, you know, you get introduced to the other side of the coin. And then as it goes, once you're introduced to the other side, now, you know, there's a gear that starts churning in your head, and it's, you know, maybe what I believe in isn't right, because, you know, I'm human, this person's human, why can they achieve this and why am I struggling to do the same thing? So I think that, you know, from my own story, kind of reflecting on George's as well, is that it's, a network is important, right? If you want to, especially as it relates to self-worth, right? If you're constantly in an environment where, you know, you might be individually of a negative mindset, but now you add that with five other people that are of a negative mindset, yeah, it's not really a place where you can imagine there being much success, right? Because you can throw all of those five people in that network that have a negative mindset into a situation where success is almost guaranteed. And guess what? They're going to fumble that. They're going to fumble that because of the values and beliefs that they hold. Because to somebody that doesn't believe they're worthy of success, you know, you can give them, just look at lottery winners. I know I'm going on a bit of a tangent here, but look at lottery winners, for example. Every single lottery winner, you know, dreams, wishes of the day they win the lottery. What are the statistics of people that keep those earnings? Not very good.
Zero, you know, probably.
It was like 70% or something like that of lottery winners lose the entire amount and end up bankrupt within like 3 years or something like that. Why do you think that's the case? Right? It's because somebody with a mindset where they obviously don't have the right values and beliefs for success, they come into success, and guess what? The values and beliefs that they hold on to eventually self-sabotage, make them self-sabotage into giving back the money that, you know, they won. And guess what? They're right back where they wanted to be, the comfort zone.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's fascinating, Mark. I love that you said that, right? Because I think there was a study one time, it was a thought experiment, that if you redistribute the wealth equally to be X amount of dollars per person for everyone, it's just completely redistributed. Take Jeff Bezos' amount, chop it up, send checks to somebody who doesn't have it. Within a year, it'll end up in the same pockets. So, Marky, according to that experiment, you know, what the conclusion to that isn't that, you know, taking somebody else's money and giving it to another person is a solution. The solution is having the mindset to attract that money to begin with. Because if you redistribute it and it ends up in the same pockets, you know, there's something to that. And it isn't luck. You know, and you just said my story and your story. I think, you know, it's not to minimize anyone else's account or experience, but I think starting out in a family where there's a lot of, you know, success already is probably just as challenging as starting out, you know, sleeping with cockroaches in the room. Like that's my story. You know, like we didn't have anything at all. My parents just immigrated with nothing. It took a shot. Came for us, and I really appreciate them for that. But really, each one of these scenarios and extremes has their own challenges. Like, if you're already born into success, the challenge is how to become even more successful. The pressure of living in someone's shadow, you know, that could be just as difficult to that kid as the kid who doesn't have anything is trying to figure out how to get more. So it's everyone's dealing with their own interpretation of success. And what's important is that you know who you are, what your likelihood is that you fear it, what the fears are surrounding it, and you fix them before you get the success. Because one of the things we talked about, Marky, is it's lonely at the top, All right. And you know what? You could have all the money in the world and feel terribly alone and depressed. And those are the people who weren't prepared for it, right? Those are the people who did it for the wrong reason. So start with purpose. What is your purpose? What are you trying to accomplish? What are your towards goals? And that's your version of success.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to get into that real shortly. But let's take a moment here just to finish off with these examples of fear of success in trading. All right. So we kind of alluded to these earlier on. And, you know, one of the other ways that fear of success kind of tends to show itself in trading is the self-doubt, right? You've got self-doubt that you won't be able to make it. Or on the opposite pain, right? If you reach a level of profitability or reach a level of consistency, and then after a while you kind of plateau and then you start giving that money back, right? You might be of the opinion that it's too good to be true. You know, you get that streak of success, you finally break through and you know, achieve that consistent profitability that, you know, 99% of traders out there are searching for. And then you think of, you know, what if I'm not able to make this last, right? So what actually happens when you finally do get money or you do get consistent profitability? You might have not found the next step for you, and you might be considering throwing in the towel, right? So going back to what we mentioned, any moment that you start finding success, you find a way to mess up, you find a way to self-sabotage, and you find a way to give it all back. But where do these insecurities come from, right? At the end of the day, it always comes back to this. It's a lack of self-worth. If you don't feel worthy of the success that you want to, or rather that you deserve to achieve, then you're going to be the one fearing it. And when you fear success, you're going to find ways to mess it up. And that is where the self-sabotage kicks in. So now the last and the most exciting part of today's episode, how can somebody overcome a fear of success? And, you know, Georgie kind of mentioned it there, and he mentioned have a vision or have a plan, have clarity. And that is really one of the best ways to go about overcoming a fear of success. Because like we said up top here, right, you might have not found what your next step is. So everybody, and this kind of also goes back to, sorry, I'm just kind of jumbling back and forth, but million thoughts coming in every second. It also kind of goes back to the example early on that we gave of Drake. You know, everybody dreams of having that success, but they might actually fear all the responsibility, all the work that goes with it, right? You can also imagine this, right? Imagine Drake wanting to achieve all those things and then getting there and then realizing, hey, what's the next step? Do I just throw in the towel? Right. And so this is kind of similar to that of trading. You want to have a clear vision of what you want to accomplish with the money, right? You got to have a bigger vision of what you're going to do with the success that you plan on achieving from trading. At the end of the day, and we mentioned this in a number of different episodes, earning money is not a big enough reason to continue doing it, right? Just like trading for the sake of getting consistently profitable isn't enough to continue doing it, right? You always need to have a next step. And the issue comes with, like Georgie said, it's when you get that first taste of success and then you don't really know what your vision is with it, you're going to be fearing that because it's the unknown. Whereas if you take the time to plan, if you have clarity in your vision, if you know what you plan on achieving, what you plan on doing with it, then there's no uncertain, you know, I use this quotations, there's no uncertainty because you've already planned that part, right? You're putting yourself in the most vulnerable shoes as it relates to fear of success when you don't have a plan in place. Because if you actually achieve that, which what you want, but you don't have the next steps already laid out, that's where the self-sabotage kicks in. That's where the uncertainty comes in. That's where you start doing things that make you give the money back, right? So as it relates to trading, this is somebody that might be finding success. They might start getting to the point where they're no longer getting red months. They're starting to, you know, put together green weeks, green days, green months. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's too good to be true. They start giving it back. Why? Because there is no clarity in their vision of what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, Marky, like if your purpose is big enough in life, you're going to die trying to achieve it. You know, you're going to be, it's a sad part is that if you have this big purpose and a grand vision, you'll be on your last day looking back and you might have achieved some crazy things by anyone's standard, but your last words are probably like, I wish I'd done more. You know, it's just like, it's one of those things that it's not about achieving the goal. It's about the journey. And that's why you shouldn't have money goals as a dollar figure. That's an empty goal. What does $1 million mean? Just a whole bunch of crap you're going to consume from one end and out the other. It's at the end of the day, it should be lifestyle. It should be purpose driven. And the reality is when you hit the point where, you know, if your goal is to make your first $1 million, you won't even know the day that happens because you're going to be so busy doing it. It's one of those things you look back and you're like, you're so busy in the day. You're trying to realize your purpose. You look back and say, hey, look, wow, I got $1 million. Now back to do what I was doing because that's what created it to begin with. So you got to have purpose. You got to have drive. And the money is the payback or the reward for you creating value because money is just an exchange of value. The only way to get money is to give value. And so find out how you can be valuable and do it to an extreme. And success is the last thing you're going to have to worry about. It's going to be, you know, self-fulfillment, purpose fulfillment. That's the mission that I'm on. You know, it's a side effect of being so purpose-driven, the money. It was never the goal for me, Marky. Like I've always just, look, it's how long has the world been around? It's 2020 right now. So this is AD. So it's been around longer. You know, in the grand scheme of things, do you think your 70 years are going to be remembered by how much money you made? Do you know what I mean? Like you have 70 years out of 2000 on average. And at the end of the day, it's foolish to measure yourself on a dollar number in just 70 years that you have. It's got to be so much greater than that. And I think when you have purpose that's big and bold, that's fuel. That's fuel for the rocket ship that'll take you to where you want to go. And as a result, you'll end up having some money. All right. But that's never the goal. It's always the side effect or the outcome of your passion.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you get started? All right. How do you get started with overcoming fear of success? Well, first and foremost, you know, we mentioned plan, but even before you get to the plan phase, you've got to reflect. All right. You got to reflect on your past experiences with success and you got to figure out what happened as a result of achieving those successes. Right. So this goes back to what George used as an example as a child. Maybe it was a tournament or something that you participated in. Right. Maybe you're achieving success. Let's use an individual sport. Maybe you were playing tennis. I'll use my own examples here. Maybe you're playing tennis and you're on a team, right? A team of tennis players. And let's say you're the one that wins the championship. You're the one that wins the tournament. But in doing so, you know, you have to beat, maybe you played one or two of your teammates, maybe one or two of your best friends, and you had to beat them to win that. Maybe as a result of winning that tournament and beating your friend, you lost that friendship or you were alienated by that person. And you remember that feeling. And now every time you think of success, you think that it's going to alienate your relationships. So you fear success. Naturally, you fear success. So what you got to do here is you're going to reflect on your own past experiences, figure out what happened as a result, and really identify the stories and beliefs that you adopted and that you're telling yourself, you know, going forward in these days. You've got to identify what you experienced in those imprint years and see if there's anything there. We gave you guys a number of examples as far as values and beliefs earlier on this show. That's really the first place you gotta start. What you wanna do now is make a list of all the ways that you're sabotaging yourself to put it in focus, all right? And you can kind of have two lists here. Really, this is interchangeable, you know, between life and trading, but there's going to be different things you'll notice in life that you do to sabotage your success and in trading that you do to sabotage your success. So make a list of all of the ways that you do it in day-to-day life and also in trading, and you'll see a number of similarities. All right. Once you can identify these behaviors that, you know, that you're the way that you're behaving, then you can start putting together a plan to counteract them. And I'll let George take this one off.
Sure, yeah. Next step would be not even just a step, but a recommendation on how to overcome fear of success. Get a piece of paper and pen out and write down the answers to these questions in this order. and get as clear as possible as to why. Write it down with how you would feel, what it would look like, what it would sound like. Use multiple representation systems and ask yourself, how do I want to live? Because that's the last question people ask. You know, one of the saddest things in life is that how do I want to live is ultimately for most people an effect of everything else. You know, it's like you feel like you have the least control, but that drives everything. How do I want to live? That's your decision. What you have is as an outcome of your decisions. So after you write that out, say, what do I want to do with my life? What is your purpose? What is your goal? What is your mission? What is your driver? And then last but not least, why do I want to be a trader? Because you might be the most fantastic trader, but you could really work on who you are as a human. You know, at the end of the day, you need to find what that's going to fuel, because what success as a trader looks like is having money and having a lot of time. And if you really haven't prepared yourself to have a purpose, having money and having a lot of time is oftentimes the beginning of failure for a lot of people. It can be very sabotaging, right? If you got problems, money and time exasperates those problems. You want to really be well prepared from a psychology and from a goals and objectives perspective.
Yeah, exactly. So once you put together the answers to those questions, you've got a better understanding of your why. All right. So from this point on, you can start to use visualization to really imagine your ideal lifestyle. You're able to now, you know, visualize achieving a goal that you've set, what might happen as a result of achieving that accomplishment, and different ways that you can go about dealing with that kind of thing, right? And really, another big one we kind of mentioned earlier, and it's with regards to community, right? And joining a community of like-minded, positive people with high self-esteem, with a high self-worth, with a high value of personal self-worth, right? Not net worth, self-worth. And the idea here is you find this community and you learn to absorb, right? You learn to absorb their values, their beliefs, so that you can ultimately reframe your own mindset and start to think of things more optimistically, be more abundance focused, more opportunity focused, as opposed to being somebody that tends to run away from their problems, and as opposed to somebody that tends to live in effect of their external environment, right? And when I say community, you know, obviously we have our own community here, so you can check that out, but it's not meant to be a plug. You can find any community that you believe will provide you value. You just got to do your due diligence and make sure that's the right community for you. The only reason why I could suggest ours is because we're part of it. We see what's in there every single day, and I can tell you we've got a like-minded community of people that they all want to achieve, you know, higher goals. They all have a higher sense of being, and it's a great place to be. That's one part of the equation, right? The other part is the network. And this is the part where it gets a little bit more, you know, touch and feel, because you might have some friends in your network, some colleagues in your network that, you know, you've known for a long, long time, but based on their values and beliefs, they might actually be dragging you down, right? And so the reason why I say this is one of those touch and go kind of parts of the process is that sometimes you have to get rid of, and I'll use this in quotes, dead weight. And the reason for that is because if the network around you is not serving you, is not uplifting you, is not aligned with, you know, your values, your beliefs, and what you're trying to achieve, the only thing it's doing is pulling you down, right? So start off first with your network. Reflect on, you know, the five people you spend the most amount of time with. Are those people aligned in their, you know, values and beliefs? Are they all trying to achieve bigger and better things for themselves? Are they living at cause? Are they living, are they opportunity focused? You know, if you can answer those questions and see that your closest five network of colleagues is aligned with what you're trying to accomplish, perfect. You're in the right place. But if you don't see that to be the fact, if you see that, you know, somebody in the network is, they tend to draw you down, you know, anytime you might mention of some of your successes, maybe somebody in that network kind of brings you down because of your success. you know, that's not really serving you. And there's a difficult conversation to have, but it starts with identifying, you know, first and foremost, what you want to achieve, where your values and beliefs are they aligned with what you want to achieve? And then moving from there.
Stop caring what people think and start caring what you want. Like, that's really, at the end of the day, that's all it is. Did you ever used to build sandcastles when you were younger, Marky? Like on the beach stuff when you guys go to vacation? You remember when you'd build a sandcastle and you just get to the point where you're like, hey, this is nice, I could start building on it, the foundation's laid, and a brother or sister would come by and just kick it over and laugh at you? This is what people go through on a daily basis. They try to work on themselves and build some kind of foundation, and then the people around them just kick it down. And it gets frustrating. What you want to do is build that sandcastle and have people around you that have the mentality to say, let me get a bucket and help you build it. And what ends up happening is, no matter how successful you get, once in a while, somebody will come by and kick your sandcastle down, but you got 30 of them. You know, you could lose it. That castle was getting old anyways. Kick it down. I got new ones. And so at the end of the day, it's all about just building bigger, better castles with the right people. And, you know, end of the day, I don't think you should fear success. I think by being born and being on this planet, by virtue of being a growing organism, you deserve success. You know, you're worthy of it. Anything short of that is a sad story. I think everyone in this world, I'm stupid enough to believe it. Not stupid. You know, I'm naive enough to believe that everyone could reach their version of success. That's the world that I want to live in. And guess what? That's my success too. One day, you know, maybe I'll get to the end and we haven't reached that point. But as long as I know when I started on this planet and when I'm leaving, I've helped push it forward and done my best and, you know, achieved the things I was after, it's going to have to be enough. But I'm the type of person, it's never enough. I always want more. And I was debating on whether or not I should tell this story because we're kind of really deep into this episode. For an hour 50. Should I do it, Marky?
I think so.
Okay, so for me, there was one life-changing moment. This goes back to the days when I was young. You know, I wanted money very quickly, and so I had to do some things to get that money, right? But this is when I realized the path I was on was going to lead to savage or self-sabotage. I was selling McDonald's in the local neighborhood. I don't want to incriminate myself. I was selling McDonald's, all right? And I remember specifically asking myself, is selling McDonald's good for the people that are eating it? And I'm like, am I ultimately adding positive value? And to offset that, what I would do is I would donate a lot of people. I'd give them cash. I'd find people in the parking lot that looked like they needed, like, come in with me. I'd spend hundreds of dollars on clothes for them, etc. Until it got to this point, Mark, I remember this one time I gave this guy cash. The same night, I kid you not, I got a phone call. He said, hey, my friend wants to get some McDonald's. I go in and I brought the McDonald's to the same guy I gave the cash to. And I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, it's not about money, because it's all about changing people's lives, about helping, giving them value, helping build people up. You know, doing things just for the money, you can get a lot of money doing it, but you'll never be happy. That was one of my darkest evenings of my life. It wasn't that anything bad happened. It was just the realization that the path I'm on isn't serving people, it's hurting people. And from there, my whole life from there was, I want to give value, I want to change, I want to help. And that's all I'm after. And you deserve it. Remember, success means you have resources. Having resources means you can make an impact. Love you guys. Thank you for getting so deep in this podcast with us. I remember before this, Marky, what I say, it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, he's right. He's right, but I hope you guys got the value from it. And really, before we sign off here, the last kind of, I guess, piece of advice we can offer you, or last insight into how you can overcome the fear of success, really has to do with some lifestyle changes that you can make, right? So little things that you can do to help you manage the stress and anxiety brought about by the fear of success include things like, you know, your usual things: eating well, making sure you get enough sleep, making sure you have enough activity in the day. You know, we're meant to grow. So make sure that you're growing, you're moving. And really, finally, the last bit of advice would be to keep a journal. All right. Leverage a journal to help you keep in touch with your feelings and to gauge your progress. Because at the end of the day, if you're not going to do it, who is? right? So that's really all that we've got for you guys today, Trade Pros. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, especially if you're still here at this point in the show. We really, really appreciate you guys. If you guys can think of one person in particular that might find today's episode helpful in their trading journey, or even in their lives, please feel free to share it with them. And finally, guys, if you enjoy listening to these podcasts, enjoy what we put together for you guys on a weekly basis, please, please do us a huge favor. Jump on iTunes, leave a rating and review. That's going to help put us in front of other traders like yourselves, and it's going to help us improve the psychology and the mindsets of the global trading community. Until next time, guys, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.